Welcome to The Truth About Public Sector with Hannah Quinn Hill. Join me as we cut through the jargon and deep dive into the realities of public sector procurement, policy and operations. Each episode brings honest conversations, expert insights and no-nonsense discussions about the challenges, successes and behind-the-scenes workings of the sector. Whether you're a seasoned professional, a newcomer or just curious about how the public sector really operates, this is the podcast for you. I'm absolutely thrilled on today's session to be joined by Darren Lowe, who's the Managing Director of Crescent Purchasing Consortium. Hi, Darren. How are you?
Very well. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. And thank you so much for joining us. Now, I find it hard to believe that anybody wouldn't know who Crescent Purchasing Consortium is. But for anybody that might not be familiar, what is it that the CPC does?
So the CPC is a well-established public sector buying organisation. We're also a registered charity. Not a lot of people are aware of our charity status. And we provide a wide range of procurement support services to the education sector. We advance education on the subject of procurement to our membership, which currently stands at around the 10,500 members nationwide.
Do you know, I didn't know that you were a not-for-profit organisation, charity, registered charity. I knew about the work that you do in education, but I wasn't aware of that either. So already learned something new in our conversation.
I can talk for hours about our charity work, and maybe I'll get the opportunity during this podcast.
Absolutely, that would be great. And in terms of the education side of things, and that's what I think you are, you know, you yourself are probably most known for as well. How does the CPC support public sector education bodies and beyond?
So the CPC is solely education focused, and that's the rationale behind getting the charity status of what we do. We've got charity objectives that include providing procurement support services to the education sector, advancing education, so we offer lots of training, support and guidance which marries that, and we also give back. So any surplus funds that the charity has, we give that back into the education sector, and to date we've done just over £2 million worth of giving back funds, which has gone back into the education sector to support teaching and learning, and focused around SEND, well-being and absenteeism.
That's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and in terms of the role of the CPC, what we aspire to be is this one-stop procurement shop. Snappy one line that our comms team came up with.
Brilliant.
But we offer free support, so we have a team of regional procurement advisors that are based around the country that will go into schools and colleges and help them navigate our services. We're known for our portfolio of frameworks. We've got 83 of them currently. There's 1,200 suppliers across those frameworks. We do free learning and development. We've got our own learning and development lead, Matt Pearson, who's well known across the sector, doing lots of speaking and training for our members all the time. And we're also well known for our peer network. So we've got our procurement advisory group and our FM group who meet on a frequent basis. And that level of engagement we're getting across those networks is increasing every year on year. And that's a credit to the regional procurement advisors that run those networks. And then I guess the final element of support that we give is around consultancy.
Yeah.
And we've got two aspects linked to that, which is our managed procurement services, which is essentially an outsourced option for the education sector.
Yeah.
That's been going 17 years, and we've got multiple contracts again up and down the country. We've got Devon, we've got contracts down in Devon, and I learned yesterday we've won some business up in Northumberland. So you can see the stretch of the country that we do on that. And then we've got our on-demand team, and they're our team of procurement professionals who parachute into organisations and just help with those one-off jobs where people may not haven't got the time or the expertise to cover, and they just need somebody to come in and deliver it on their behalf.
And that's so important, isn't it? Because I speak to a lot of academy trusts and a lot of educational providers where they just don't have the resource to have their own procurement team. You know, they just don't have the funding to do that. But what they do often need is some really solid guidance and support about where, you know, the best opportunity is for them to make the most of the procurements that they're doing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's a sad fact, really, that I think procurement in a lot of areas of education is seen as a luxury.
Yeah.
So it's only these past few years that with the multiple academy trusts expanding that we're seeing dedicated procurement resource being employed within those multi-academy trusts. And you know, a few colleges around the country have got their own dedicated procurement people. And I was one of them many years back at Preston College. But yeah, there's quite a lot where it's just the line on the job description and they've got other responsibilities and priorities on top of that. So yeah, definitely the consultancy side of the business is busy because of that need. There is a need for it, but people just can't afford to have that dedicated resource, sadly.
And you've led me nicely then to quite a good segue you gave me there, actually, Darren, which was about your experience. So you've had a really interesting career journey, and you are now, you know, responsible MD for CPC. So how did you get into the position you're in now? Where did it all start?
So I guess I've had a bit of a different career journey to most MDs or CEOs that you speak to, because I completely skipped the university stage. So I left school, as you do, 16 years old, decided that I didn't want to do any more study. So I went and found myself a full-time job. Probably too young to remember it, but they used to be called youth trainee schemes, YTS. So 16-year-old, got myself a full-time job, and it just happened to be in Oldham College in their finance team. Somehow convinced my parents that I'd be an accountant, probably the first job that popped into my head. And yeah, off I went to Oldham College as an office junior within their finance team, and ended up spending about 12 years at Oldham College, working my way through different finance roles. And it was during that period that I got introduced to the CPC, because they'd formed the CPC and they'd obviously reached out to all the Greater Manchester colleges to try and get them interested. And I guess the powers of delegation ended up on my desk and said, Darren, you're going off to Salford to learn about this CPC setup. So off I went. And I guess that was one of my first introductions to procurement. That's probably the meeting that sparked my interest and thought, oh, you can actually do a career in procurement. Probably didn't realise it existed before that. I commenced my SIPS qualifications during the latter years of being at Oldham College. And from there, I took a full-time procurement manager's job at Preston College, which was what I needed at the time to get more experience around procurement. So decent commute every day, but it was worth the time and money. Off to Preston College. Did about 3 years at Preston. What's funny, though, is whilst I was at Oldham College, I applied for a job at CPC as a buyer.
And did you not get it?
I got declined. Yeah, I got turned down. And the feedback was that I was already earning what the job was offering. But he wasn't convinced that I was going to stick around for the long term. They should have given me a try, though, because I probably would have stuck around for the long term had they... Yeah, they had done it, but you know, their loss. So off to Preston College. What I realised during my time at Preston College is that there's a ceiling within the education sector, and there wasn't career opportunities beyond where I was. And being ambitious, I needed the next step. I got introduced to Tenet Education Services during that time. Cut a long story short, reached out to them, got an interview, got a job with Tenet Education Services. And that was, if I'm honest, that was a sideways move, but there was career opportunities within Tenet. And David Toms, who was the founder, said right from the start, if we can grow this business, there'll be promotion available to you. And he definitely kept his promise there. I've got a lot to thank David Toms for. So gained a few promotions through Tenet and was offered a shareholding within the business, which I gladly took, and eventually ended up becoming the managing director of Tenet. During my time with Tenet, we started doing some work with CPC, so it came back to CPC again, and we was a framework partner with them for a number of years. And then around, I don't know, 2015, 2016, CPC reached out to Tenet to see if we might have an interest in selling the business. So David Toms and I were the two shareholders within Tenet at the time. We had the conversation and we decided that it was probably right for Tenet and probably a good thing for the CPC for the two to come together. Yeah, the decision was made to sell Tenet to the CPC. And I continued as the MD of Tenet, which became a subsidiary company wholly owned by the CPC. And then a few years down the line, in 21, there was an opportunity for me to apply to be the MD of CPC, which I applied for and was privileged to be offered the job. And there you go, I end up becoming the MD of CPC. So yeah, I've been a supporter of CPC. I've sold a business to the CPC.
Yeah.
I've applied for a job twice, declined once, became the MD the second time round. So it was meant to happen at some point that meant to happen. I believe in fate and it happened.
And it's a really lovely story because you are you're not alone in that most people who end up in procurement historically knew nothing about procurement and they took a weird and wonderful route into becoming a procurement professional. Obviously, that doesn't happen now because you can get all sorts of lovely degrees from universities that are supply chain procurement based. So people actually proactively choose it as a career now, which is brilliant. But the fact that you applied and were rejected and are now the MD is just such a lovely story that you stuck with it and you grew back into CPC. It's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, literally from being at Oldham College, which is now many, many years ago, I've always had this link to CPC and always been a supporter of it. Whether I was working in the public sector or the private sector, there's always been a link in with it. And so it's great for me to finally have the opportunity to be the MD and take it into its next chapter.
It's exciting, isn't it? And I know that one of the things that I think is really interesting and people that don't work in the public sector or education or procurement find this hard to understand is that, you know, CPC provides so many frameworks for organisations and for education bodies to pull from to get the best value, to get the best social impact and all those kinds of things. But a lot of people don't understand why. You know, why would a public sector organisation use a framework agreement? So what do you think? You're the big boss at CPC. What's the advantage of using a public sector procurement framework if you're an education body?
I think for our core marketplace, which is schools and colleges primarily, the distinct advantages of the frameworks that the CPC offer are they're designed for education.
Yes.
So they're not a one size fits all. They was designed by our contracting team for the education sector with your school business managers and your estates managers in mind. We've got a vast range of frameworks that we offer. So I'd like to think that, you know, if you're a school, whatever you need to buy, we've probably got a framework for you. And if we haven't, it's on our list of ones to do. So,
yes,
you know, we are working on a number of new frameworks as we speak. We aspire to be the first choice procurement partner to the education sector. So we're continually, continuous improvement in everything that we do. Simplicity plays a big part in it. You know, there's some frameworks out there that are so complicated, even an experienced procurement person struggles with it. And what we've always done is pride ourselves on the simplicity of it. And again, that comes back to being designed for the education sector. And that's coupled with us, the support that we do. We've got a wide range of support right across our different teams. Whether it's designing templates, whether it's designing guidance, giving the training, there's people in the business that are there to help our members navigate the process of doing a mini comp or quick quote through our frameworks. They do save you time than going to the open market. Because of the size and the buying power that the CPC's got, we've got suppliers that go through a competitive process to be on the framework, and that drives economies of scale. So they should be getting good educational pricing through the frameworks that we offer. And again, I guess I'd probably finish on two things really. One's the tools. So we've got quick quote tool, direct award tools, e-sourcing platform, which is all free of charge, which would save you having to buy your own. If you use CPC frameworks. And then I guess the final bit is the social value and the fact that we are a charity. So if a school or a college or anybody uses a CPC framework, they're using it with the peace of mind that the work's been done to a high standard, but then you're supporting a charity that ploughs money back into the education sector. So there's this recycling of education sector money, which only benefits the education sector.
And that's, you know, part of this that's really key, isn't it? Because when you think about education academies or local authority schools or whatever that looks like, some of them are very big. You know, some of them have got as many as 40-odd schools under their remit. Different geographies. Others have only got clusters of schools, and it might just be three or four, very locally done. And so their buying power and their ability to drive cost efficiencies in what they're doing in those situations is really varied, isn't it? And so having the support to be able to bring a really good procurement to market that's going to give them the best cost efficiencies but benefit their students is so important.
It is. And as we said earlier, if procurement's a line on your job description, but it's not your core responsibility, it'd be unreasonable to expect them to know the ins and outs of the Procurement Act. Yes. And CPC is there to give them that network and that support net to help them navigate the way through what can be a high value contract, particularly if you're looking at multi-academy trust with, you know, you said 40, but there's some with many more than that in it. So, yeah, we want to be this one-stop procurement shop. We want to give the support that we can give, and we'll continue doing that as long as we possibly can.
And the other side to remember as well is that the stakeholders in education, and I can say this because my husband's a head teacher, the stakeholders in education can be really challenging. And if you're trying to do a procurement for multiple schools with multiple head teachers that all have individual requirements, finding a service or a product that suits all is really tough as well. So yeah, I think it's a great service that CPC are providing to support those people in getting that done. And I'm really pleased you mentioned we wouldn't be having a procurement conversation if we didn't talk about the Procurement Act 2023. It's now gone live. Huge changes across the sector. what do you think are the biggest changes that you think people should be aware of? You know, if you're speaking to your academies and your educational partners, what do you think they need to be aware of with the change?
I had this conversation not long back with colleagues, and what the conclusion we came up with was some of the changes are not groundbreaking. Some of the things that are coming out in the Procurement Act are there in the old rules. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's been such a long time since the last set of rules was out and publicised, I think a few people have forgot what they should have been doing. And I guess with the publicity around the new rules, buyers have taken notice and realised some of the elements that they wasn't doing, they should have been doing. And so, you know, examples of that for, you know, wider public sector, transparency of contract awards from 30k, including VAT upwards. That seems to have come to a bit of a shock to some people, which was quite surprising to us. Even the ability to access the market through framework agreements, where public sector buying organisations such as the CPC have done all the work. We've been speaking to people in schools and they've gone, oh, really, is that an option for us? And it's like, yeah, we've been around 20 plus years. Yeah, it's always been an option for you. But I guess that's been a positive with the new Procurement Act. It's brought a lot of people to the forefront to go, oh, this is new law, I better learn about this. And they've come and taken part in some of our webinars. I think in terms of changes, there is an increase in transparency.
Yes.
Buyers can't hide away as much as they may have done in the past. There are more notices to publish, which will make their activity more visible to the outside world. Whether they do it is another matter, but they should be. I think there's potential to see an increase in freedom of information and supplier scrutiny on contract awards, because everything is going to be so much more transparent. And there is going to be a need for continued contract management, because, of course, we're going to have to be publishing KPI outcomes, etc. From our perspective, though, at CPC, the Schools Multi-Academy Trust and the FE sector have been dealt a good hand because of the school's exemption. So they because of this exemption, they will be allowed to continue to operate under their own internal rules for purchases below the threshold. And I think there's a lot of people working in the education sector that are very thankful for that exemption, because they would have a lot more work to do if that exemption hadn't have been passed.
And that's really interesting as well, isn't it? Because if you are somebody, like you said, you know, procurement's a line in your job description, it's not your main proactivity within your role in education, this could be a really concerning and scary time, because you're going to be second guessing everything that you're doing in terms of the procurement. But one of the things that I personally like about framework providers, the CPC being one of them, is that there is a security and a safety in knowing that your frameworks are either future-proofed because they were done to PCR 2015 and have that length of contract, or are being done aligned to the new Procurement Act, and they don't need to worry about it. That's kind of been taken away from them.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're looking for an easy route to procure, then go and speak with the likes of CPC and PSBOs, because the frameworks have been done for you. Yes, there will be a process to run a further competition, or, you know, there will be some ratification that you'll need to do if you want to do a direct award. But the support in doing that is available from the likes of the CPC team. So, yeah, I'd encourage anybody where procurement isn't your sole responsibility and maybe you're not qualified in it, to just reach out to the CPC and maybe some of the other PSBOs and see what support is available to you, because there's ample support out there. There's And we've been saying that as we've been going around different events talking about the Procurement Act. Reach out, because the resource is there. It's not, it might look scary, but it's not that scary if you reach out and tap into the resource that's there.
No, and I one of the things again that I've enjoyed when we've spoken and you know, we've only just really met a couple of weeks ago and started having conversations, Darren, is the fact that you and your organisation demystify procurement. You know, it's not a dark art. It's not locked away and kept secret. Yeah. But I am really conscious that we haven't got very long left. So I'm going to skip through to where I think there's some juicy final questions for you around your final thoughts and advice. So if you could give one piece of advice to public sector procurement professionals who are looking to navigate change effectively, what would your advice be?
Sorry, can I have that question again, Anna?
Yeah, of course you can. So if you were going to give one piece of advice to public sector procurement professionals looking to navigate change effectively, what advice would you give to them?
I've kind of always had this attitude that procurement's an outward facing role. So if you're working in procurement and you're sat at your desk all day, I think you're going to struggle to win hearts and minds. So I would advise that you take yourself to your customer, whether that be an internal or an external customer, and demonstrate that you want to help them achieve their goals. Yeah. You're not there to put barriers in front of them. And we do experience that from time to time where we try and help a customer and, you know, they see, oh, you're just putting a barrier there and I know what I'm doing and I want to do this. And it's not about that. The barrier, sometimes compliance can be seen as a barrier.
Mm.
But typically there's ways around everything. And I think you need to invest time into that relationship building with your customer to build the trust. And I think once you've got that trust, they'll then open up and you'll be included in discussions that maybe you previously wasn't included in. I'm a great believer in a smile as well. A smile goes a long way to opening doors. And I guess be someone that they want to spend time with.
And that's so
rather than
so
being
important.
The blocker.
You know, you're absolutely right. I think the biggest skill set deficit currently in the procurement market is the ability to be customer centric and a true partner to the wider business. Those are the skills that the sector's crying out for across the public sector, you know, direct, indirect, wherever you're looking. That's the skill that's needed. So really good advice. Give me one exciting development that's coming up that you can share on behalf of CPC.
Ooh, about four. Which one shall I pick? I'm going to go for the CPC Inclusion Cup.
Ooh.
And as you know, we're a charity and we're giving money back to the sector all the time. One of the initiatives that we're doing as part of our drive to support special educational needs and disabilities and well-being is that we've entered into a partnership with the Manchester United Foundation.
Brilliant.
And what we will be doing this year, and we hope to continue doing on as an annual event, is to host an annual CPC Inclusion Cup football tournament. So this year is going to be our first year, so it's our trial year. We've got the 9 FE colleges from Greater Manchester taking part in it, and each college is going to enter a football team consisting of learners with special educational needs and disabilities. So on the day, everybody's going to arrive at Old Trafford. We're going to go up to the skills labs within the stadium where we'll get views of the pitch, take part in some skills labs activities. We've then got exclusive use of the Cliff training ground, which is obviously Manchester United's old training facility, but only available to Manchester United, where we'll do the football tournament during the afternoon. And then the winning team is going to be invited back to Old Trafford later on in the season as special guests of CPC. And we'll be watching the first team, the men's first team play a league game as the special prize for the tournament. So the ambition is to make this an annual event. We want it to be as inclusive as we possibly can. And we want to grow the participation geographically across the country in future years. And this is, I guess, as I said, one of the events that we're doing as part of our giving back, which is different to procurement. You know, procurement's quite a boring subject. And so the CPC to be diversifying.
That, I love it.
and using some of our charity money to be putting on events like this to give students living with SEND an opportunity to go out there and represent their college is something that I'm really proud and really excited, looking forward to it.
It sounds like a brilliant event. It sounds fantastic. So I'm sure it will be organised to within an inch of its life, but fingers and toes, the first one goes amazing for you. When is the first one planned?
It's taking place on the 28th of this month. So we're close. We're close to it. But the team at Manchester United Foundation have been superb. I mean, it's what they do.
Yeah.
And obviously CPC are providing the funds to make it happen. So yeah, between us, we're really excited about the first year, but also growing that in future years and giving as many students as possible the opportunity to be part of it.
Will you be wearing a shirt?
I will be wearing a shirt, yes. Whether it'll be a football shirt will be another matter. My fitness levels aren't that great, so I can't see myself running up and down the pitch. But yeah, I will definitely be there on the day as supporting the teams along.
Brilliant, brilliant. And so final question, if any of the listeners want to connect with CPC, learn about your work, where should they go? How can they connect with you?
I'd suggest the website is probably the best first port of call. So that's www.thecpc.ac.uk. But we do have accounts on LinkedIn and Twitter, or X. As it's now known. So, yeah, by all means, connect with us on there. We genuinely appreciate anybody who connects and shares our posts with us because it allows our charity to just expand our audience. So without sounding like an influencer, please like and subscribe, or whatever these young kids say these days. And yeah, that'd be super. I'm also on LinkedIn as well. So if anybody's would like to link in with me personally, then I'm there and available.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, John. I've really, really enjoyed the conversation. I really hope that you join us again because there's lots we didn't cover. And I know that you've got colleagues who do an amazing job as well that we'd love to have join us in future episodes too. So thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Yeah, and we'd love to come back and talk more about CPC and what we do. Thanks very much, Anna. Really enjoyed it.